I didn't really know till just now, but I think it's to ask you if you could do anything you wanted, if you could have a wish.
And are you the kind of a man who could grant me that wish?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Well, you know, I never got to bat in the major leagues. I'd have liked to have that chance just once. To stare down a big league pitcher. To stare him down, and just as he goes into his windup, wink. Make him think you know something he doesn't. That's what I wish for. Chance to squint at a sky so blue that it hurts your eyes just to look at it. To feel the tingle in your arm as you connect with the ball. To run the bases, stretch a double into a triple, and flop face first into third. Wrap your arms around the bag. That's my wish, Rick and Silla. That's my wish.
So hi and welcome to the NA Movie Podcast. As if we've done this before. Really? I'm Andrew.
I am Douglas.
And this is Barbara Walters.
Barbara Walters coming back.
Barbara
the
Walters, nay, white. Okay. Actually, I said that the opposite way.
Mm-hmm. We were going to leave that alone.
The wrong way.
Barbara White, you meant.
Barbara White.
Barbara White.
Neil Waters.
That's how it's really said. Yes.
Oh,
I think.
Not even. Like, I mean, I try to think about making a Barbara Streisand joke, but I don't think you guys would find it funny, or
yeah,
I would actually make it,
do that.
Make it interesting. But I'm just gonna forget that and move on into the film of the week.
Significant idea.
As this week, I decided to force us to sit down and watch. Actually, a movie that comes from my fantasy list. It is a substitute of mine, which was my number 5 substitute. Because I was like, if
so
this movie
trick.
Ends up coming up, money doesn't matter anymore.
It was a trick, Douglas. He tricked us. It's against the rules.
And
forced me to watch your movies.
And this is the latest film by Corriedo. It is Like Father, Like Son.
Seno. Keda. Gokaku. Omedeto. Doza.
The film ends up following two families. It kind of focuses mainly on one, the family of a well-respected businessman and entrepreneur who he and his family discovered that the son that they've had for the last 6 years is actually not their biological son, and the hospital that the child was born in made a mistake and accidentally swapped two children. And it's about this family meeting up and all of the things that end up coming afterwards as they try to decide what they're going to do now that this information has come to light, with people suggesting things like, why don't you just take your real son and he take his real son and
just
see how this goes.
Just cut them in half. Set the top part and the bottom
I say that the most hilarious part of this movie was when they explained. They said, okay, this thing used to happen all the time back in the day. And then we found a solution. Mm-hmm. We took a piece of marker and wrote on the child's foot. Like, that's a solution.
Yeah.
To write on the child's foot with
Before,
a marker.
We were all racist against each other. Where we went... All Japanese people look alike.
At least babies.
But then we decided.
They could tell the girls from the boys, though. That one they figured out eventually.
At this point, I don't.
Alright, so Corriedo is a filmmaker who I've recently been hearing a lot of noise about. I finally got to watch a film of his that came out recently called I Wish, which I liked, but I didn't quite love. And people.
Was it the video for the R. Kelly song?
You feel better now? You feel better about yourself? Are you happy?
Well,
you
this
happy?
Podcast is over. Thanks for listening. And Andrew at.
And while I didn't quite love I Wish, I felt there was I had enough interest in it that I wanted to go further. So I decided I wanted us to watch this movie, like Father, Like Son. And can I tell you guys, I am so pleased because I actually really love this movie. And it's for a lot of strange reasons. There are so many movies we talk about every week, which are very quiet, very calm dramas, which kind of center themselves around a really difficult decision, where even though at times we will watch it and we will come to our own decision relatively quickly, it's still interesting to see the characters grapple with attempting to solve this problem on their own. You can empathize with how they are being drawn in both directions of trying to solve the problem that they have at hand. And regardless of how you feel about that actual decision, you are so deeply invested in the decision-making process that it becomes a great experience watching this movie. And so when we end up seeing this movie and we are spending the first hour judging both of these parents, kind of summing them up in our own ways, going, he's a shithole and he's a shithole, but they're both good in their own ways, and trying to almost decide, if we were to give the children, both children, to one parent, who would we decide? It becomes a really interesting movie. I particularly enjoyed, there was this scene late on in the movie where the main father, I can't remember his character name right now, goes and he has like lunch with his father, and of course all of his family is kind of talking about the situation that he's going through, and you realize that so much, well, this isn't something that I guess this movie taught me, it's just something that I like seeing being displayed the way this movie did it. So much of who you are isn't biology, it's just the people you're around and what you learn from the people around you. As he starts to see where his inclination to want to swap children, because he's like, at the end of the day, that's my blood there, but I've spent 6 years with this one, how do I decide? And it becomes even more troublesome for him to decide what he wants to do. And I really like this movie, guys, and more than dealing with that decision, I love the other father, because he is one of those people who just seems like one of the best characters in movies. He seems the most interesting when you watch him and you kind of enjoy watching him do things on screen, and then you realize that, like, when you see that, you will start to devalue him, thinking, oh, he might be fun and therefore not as smart. But when you see him kind of get into some of the more interpersonal issues, you realize that he's just as intuitive and he feels as much as anyone else in this movie trying to figure out what they want to do. And to the level where he almost has a better grasp of how to deal with these kind of situations. And I really enjoyed this movie. So Damien... Mm-hmm. Being the one who came here the other day and yes. said we would sound really dumb talking about this movie.
Yeah.
Have you come up with something really smart to say about this movie in the last few days?
Something succinct and prescient that I can say about this movie. About how, you know, it is nature versus nurture. No. Still, look. This movie is good. I like it a lot. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's I can see where people might watch it and find it boring or whatever, but I enjoyed the movie. It's just that me talking about this movie, like, there's nothing that I have in my life that I can link to this movie. I can't say, oh, I understand the decisions that were made or whatever, but having never made anything even close to this kind of decision. I don't even know where to start, right? You can go, you know, I can say, well, if I had a son that I raised for 6 years, it wouldn't matter that I had a, like, they made the mix up. The one that is my son, the one that I've raised is my son, because who gives a shit about blood? But that's not how the world works. If that was how people thought about children, we wouldn't have orphanages. People would just go pick up children. Oh, I need a child. You just come with me. I don't need one that look like me. That's ridiculous. You don't have a mother and I need children. You come here. But that's not what happens. So I don't know. I'd like to think that I'm evolved enough or mature enough to look past that. But at the end of the day, most people who have children enjoy the fact that he looks like me. And it is as much a I raise this child as it is a visual thing.
Yeah, I know.
That looks like me.
And that's why every time I meet someone who's adopted a child, like, I applaud them, like, mentally. Like, I'm... Because...
They're bad people. Why would you take another person's child? You monster.
Well, that's enough from you two.
Okay.
I want
you
to talk.
Call me Godzilla.
Yes, I did. So I want to talk, seeing as I am probably the best qualified person.
Because you're the oldest.
To speak on these matters.
Had the considering most
children.
Had the most
child scares. That
you had
I
the most
have,
abortions.
No, considering that, you know, I have experience with this sort of thing.
Ah.
I had a brother for a younger brother for a long time, and I had the chance to swap. Oh, wait. I can't swap him? Shit. Oh,
man. Fuck this up.
I'm wondering if he's talking about me. Is he talking about me?
I mean, that's the fun thing about having more than one brother. Right. You never know.
One's a doctor, and one plays with computers all day. What brother should I back? I am an analyst. Let's look at earnings potential.
I point to Mark Zuckerberg.
Okay, guys. All right, so.
One is Jamaica's Mark Zuckerberg, and one has a real ass job where he saves lives.
So we've said it before. We've all said it. This movie is pretty good. This movie it raises a lot of interesting and not necessarily happy thoughts or situations. You know, it's crazy. You've raised your son. This is your son. This is not somebody else's son, no matter the biology. You've raised your son for 6 years, and then you're told that, well, there was a mix-up in the baby-making factory, and your son is actually, or your biological son is actually with another family, and your son is not your biological son. And it takes them a long time to kind of come to terms and to understand what the hell is going on and what should they do. And, you know, they kind of fumble, they kind of fall, they kind of make all sorts of mistakes. But that's what this movie is about. This movie is about us learning more about these people. This pulls on all the right heartstrings, unfortunately. I hate heartstrings movies, but this is one of them. And it pulled them real good. I really liked the rich guy.
Really?
Really liked him. Because, well, the truth of the matter is, I think he's the only one that actually learned something from this whole thing. He's the one that actually exactly. He grew as a person and a character.
Into a worse person. Soft.
And
bitch ass.
You know, it's and you can look at him and his character alone almost like a metaphor for the translation, for the movement of this movie. You know, but either way, I like this movie. This movie is pretty good. I could be, right now I'd say it's probably a strong 3, but if you argue long enough with me, I might push it up to a 4. I really like this movie.
I'll push it down to a 7. you've listened to this conversation, right? what light have we shed to this movie? Like, we are the three. Like, we could only be less qualified if we were younger. Nothing.
What do you say? What do you say? Let this be the first episode of the podcast, like 4 or 5 years ago, and
yeah,
and see how we sound.
Yeah, once we have.
God damn it! Why did he spend so long?
Once we have children for ourselves, we can go. I won't even look at that. I'll keep the one that I've been, because I don't know what kind of wild animal they've been raising over here.
Did you see them? They fly kites, right?
And rolling bouncy balls. Like, what? I'm not grown. I don't have time for any of that.
Like, there was this weird moment, and I don't even know how to really think of it, when I guess the only way to understand it is to decide this was the moment where he realized he made his mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
this
when
the rich guy we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, the rich guy.
Yeah.
When he starts to play with his biological son, like proper play, like he's like,
yeah.
Oh, he wants to play, and like. Like, it's such a weird moment because I'm not quite sure, as I said, whether to take it as a moment of true growth for him realizing that he really needs to try and interact with his son, whether it be his biological or the one who he's had for 6 years. I'm going to just call him his real son because that's how I consider him for the last 6 years. Because he's viewed his son more or less as an investment for the whole of his life. He's seen him as, I am giving you all of these opportunities and all of this money and all of these things, which more than likely he didn't have, because that's the story everyone says. You know, you try to build up your child to have more opportunities that you had as at that stage. To when he's now viewing this other child and he's like, you know what, let's play, let's have fun, and they're doing this gun game that, of course, all children do, where you shoot bang bang and someone falls over.
Who is this all true? Did you do that?
I did that. You didn't shoot bang bang? You
don't play those
you don't play those
games.
Play
games in my house.
Don't play games in your house. Okay. And it was a weird, interesting moment that I'm still trying to figure out how I want to define it as what it was.
Well, I actually even go a little bit further, so I think that was probably the big exposition. But take it back maybe 10 minutes before that scene, and you see him start to do something as simple as go on the computer and search for camping. Like, how do I camp?
Mm-hmm.
Because he realizes, as you say, holy shit, this is not working. I can't just set this one a task and have him complete it like my real son. Because this one has been raised by animals, as far as he's concerned. Right? And, no, but I make a joke. But, like, this one, he's a different person. And he's not focused, he hasn't been essentially beat down for the whole of his life. And when the rich guy says to him, do work, or whatever, he's like, but I'm a child. And so he has to.
He's just like, oh my god.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love that. That was the best thing. But, so weird.
But so it's like one of the two of them has to give, right? In a fight, somebody needs to give. Or when you're playing chicken, somebody has to swerve. And he realizes that he is the grown up, and his cause is really not he's not fighting the good fight.
Mm-hmm.
So he swerves.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. You know what? I can be. I don't have to be this rich, stick in the ass asshole kind of guy, right?
Stick in the ass.
All right, stick up the ass. I don't know, but it should have been stick in the mud.
Yes, it should have.
It was either I stick agree. In the mud or stick up the ass. So all right, fine. But
stick in the ass.
But so and he swerves and he finally says, you know what?
This is the worst.
No, I can do this. And then a little bit later, you learn he starts to open up. He says something like, "Yeah, I stopped playing piano too because I fucking hated that shit." And you know, you start to realize that, guess what? He is kind of like his son, except that he decided to stamp all of those feelings down. No play. It's all work.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, by the end of the movie, it promises what I would have hoped to be the solution from the beginning, you know? And I really like that about it. I like the happy. It's not exactly happy, and it's not exactly resolved, but it's a type of ending where a person like me can look at it and hope for the best, hope for what I want.
Yeah.
Which is why I love movies like Before Sunrise.
When
before,
did you turn into
yeah, Sunrise so much.
What happened?
No, you see what happened, mm-hmm. Damien,
yes.
Is that when he was young, mm-hmm. he was told to stamp down those feelings. And this is one of those...
Like all men were.
This is one of those rare moments where magically it just bubbles to the top.
That was suppressing. Remember. Right?
Yes. My father taught me a method.
Mm-hmm.
Take a fork and just stab it in your leg.
Right.
Until you don't feel anything anymore.
Exactly. And then...
Is it wrong? This was the moment where I wanted you to do the Frozen song. So moving forward into questions. Oh,
right.
Are you okay, sir?
Oh, I'm going to break this podcast.
I'm just saying that.
Douglas is preparing himself.
So last week in questions, with X-Men kind of wowing us to the effect it did, I wanted to ask X-Men related questions.
Mm-hmm.
And mainly asking people about, like, if you could craft your own X-Men film mm-hmm. around a different mutant, who would you craft your X-Men film about? Sure.
Magneto! Is that a different? I don't know what your different was. Was it
other different than from
Wolverine?
Yeah.
Wolverine? Yeah, Magneto, definitely.
That's what she said
last
week.
To murder everybody.
Damn, Godzilla be damned.
He technically is a mutant.
He is.
He mutated.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Can I say Quicksilver now, since he was
sure.
awesome?
Yeah. I was reading something earlier this week where someone posted up a list of, like, the weirdest mutants who have ever shown up in the comic. Because comic people have nothing to do. Eventually they run out of ideas and they do craziness. And apparently there was this mutant that showed up, I don't remember the name, who was a robot from a alien planet who was just a robot. And his mutation was that he felt feelings.
Why not?
It's and Tin, like, Man!
Oh. Comic books are dumb.
And I'm like, I think that's the point where X-Men should have just folded up and gone home.
They probably did. They probably went, that didn't happen. We're starting over again.
Anyways, the internet responded. Rand McNeil, of course, responded from the matinee, staying...
Deadpool.
stating that because she always seems to get a crummy end of the lollipop, he would love a Storm movie.
Wait, wasn't Deadpool supposed to get a movie from like 500
supposed to,
years ago?
And then Wolverine Origins did horribly.
Everyone saw that Wolverine movie and went, this probably is that terrible.
I remember, was I just dreaming or was Ryan Reynolds?
He was Deadpool in that movie.
In Origins, and he still is continuing to champion to do a Deadpool movie. Every so anytime there's a comic movie out, he's like, someone asks him, yes, I still want to do Deadpool. Yes.
I want to be in any movie.
What has he done? He hasn't done anything lately.
He keeps coming in terrible movies.
Nikhat Jaro responded with Nightcrawler, saying he was pretty cool in X2. But at the same time, wanting more than him, she'd also love a Cyclops Jean Grey movie.
Cyclops! Cyclops for the win. I like Cyclops.
Mainly because she wants to know why the frig she sticks with him so long.
Yeah, that would be a terrific movie.
At Trine Daily responded with, they want a Jean Grey movie where they do the Phoenix trilogy properly. Actually, I think it might be really interesting if they do it as one singular movie and they cram as much nonsense as possible into 2.5 hours.
How about we have the most powerful character in the whole comic book universe have her own movie? I think they should do that. Pretty sure they should. Makes sense to me.
Andrew Ellington responds with Rogue, because we haven't gotten enough Rogue in this movie.
There's a good reason for that.
I like Rogue.
Oh, look here.
Because I remember her from the cartoons, and she used to do crazy shit. Like, she'd just go, I have your power, and just do crazy stuff for 5 minutes. They didn't do that in the old movies. I want to...
So she's a Mortal Kombat character.
Yes.
And we have Scorpion be in the movie.
Neil Morgan responded with, clearly Mystique needs her own movie now. Mainly, I agree with him, just so I can get Jennifer Lawrence.
What is her superpower again?
Transformation.
Cool. Does she get the powers with it?
No.
Well, then, there is your answer.
Well, technically, she could get... Mm-hmm. She could probably get Wolverine's claws.
She did in the first movie.
Because that's just more transformation.
Mm-hmm. She was like, whoosh! Mm-hmm. I made that.
Of course.
So
she'd become Wolverine.
And also Bubba Wheat from Flight Tights and Movie Nights responded with a Rogue Mystique buddy cop movie.
Why not? 23 Drum Street.
23 Drum Street. Sharla Thomas responded with Gambit.
Oh, such a cool poll.
Cards. He throws cards.
No, it's really just anything. It's just he used cards.
And apparently someone said that, I think, for the upcoming X-Men movie, mm-hmm. they've cast Channing Tatum as Gambit.
I keep seeing that, but I don't think
I don't know true. If that's true. I just remember reading that somewhere.
Do you know who was Gambit? Will I fucking
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
He was not.
Who was he?
It was some white dude was right. Gambit.
Some white dude.
He was just Will.i.am there. Was Will.i.am in the movie,
yeah, teleport,
but he wasn't
movie.
Gambit.
He wasn't Gambit?
No.
Why do I remember him being Gambit?
Because that movie is terrible and you don't remember anything about that movie.
Like,
your brain is actively trying to...
You want to know
repress.
The one thing that's seared in my mind from that brain? The fight with
from
the fat
brain.
Guy.
Mm-hmm. From that brain.
Don't know why.
The fat guy fight.
But my favorite response comes from Michael K. Potter.
Kung Lao.
Who claims what he'd really like to see is a film with Forge as the center doing the Life Death story. And not knowing any of this,
right.
I decided to look it up.
Oh, because I was just going to ask, what in God's name are you? I've never heard of any of these people.
Forge
mm-hmm.
is apparently a mutant who is a Native American. Because, you know, all these things all eventually
right.
have to include everyone.
Yep. Let's be racist right up front. All
who's...
Right.
I need to hear this.
Whose
power, if I remember correctly, because I don't have the tab open right now, is that he is a medicine man, and he basically is a really good doctor, right? And at the same time, he eventually has the power to do healing spells, right, and learn magic.
So he's a wizard.
and the Life-Death story is an arc throughout the X-Men series where Storm loses her power and kind of it becomes a romance story between Forge and Storm.
Okay,
as
so
Forge
the,
helps
so
her
two
get
non,
her power
the
back.
Two non-white people have come together.
Oh, so he doesn't get her power?
No.
Okay, that's good. Because that would just be too much.
Because... You don't want to seem racist. You want to put the two colored people together in this universe. Heaven forbid. They like somebody white.
Heaven forbid.
He's a medicine man, you say?
A medicine man, pretty much.
Terrific.
So he's Sean Connery.
No, he's Dr. Quinn.
Dr. Quinn. Dr. Quinn's husband.
Medicine husband.
Medicine husband. Don't know what to do with you guys anymore. I really don't know what I'm doing anymore. I think I'm just mentally pushing myself. I'm like, Andrew, you have to make it to 200. 200 and then you'll feel like you accomplished something.
Oh my god. Audubon's going to ask my for every cent that he gave us. This podcast is ridiculous. To all our sponsors, we're sorry.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
This is a very horrible question, but I'm going to ask it anyways.
Alright.
This week gone by, AMC debuted a new show called Halt.
Halt, Control, Catch, Delete.
Halt, Catch and Fire.
I'm assuming it's a poly show.
No, it's not. Which stars Scoot McNairy and Lee Pace.
Okay. Let's just call up more random names that I don't know.
Most people don't know Lee Pace, Andrew. Yes. You and me have a special relationship with him.
I'm really not certain if you're fucking with me.
No, I don't know.
Alright, Scoot McNairy, if you don't know, he was one of the bad guys in Killing Them Softly.
Okay.
And Lee Pace was the guy from Pushing Daisies,
see,
as well as The Fall.
See this goddamn tree. See what the hell you're talking about.
Lee Pace is a storyteller in The Fall.
Okay.
And this is AMC's next foray into doing period dramas around business. And I'm really curious. Like, I haven't really decided whether I really like the show or not yet. And I'm going to keep watching for the moment. But as a huge fan of Mad Men, I'm always interested in these kinds of shows. And at the same time, I'm curious if they're just going to keep down this road. And I want to know anyone out there who, seeing AMC's production value and what they're doing with television, if you could recommend a period story to just hand to them, since it's obvious that they're not just going, we have to do Victorian period, we can do 60s, 70s, 80s. What period story would you give them? You can be as specific or as vague as you like.
They also have Turn.
Oh, that too.
I like Turn.
Have you? I haven't watched any of it.
How's about a feel good?
Mm-hmm.
A feel-good story about a simple-minded kind of... No, I don't
know. Okay.
Can I get...
Can I get a Western?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, they actually already did that. They have, what's that show? Hell on Wheels.
Hell on Wheels.
AMC did that?
Yeah. I believe that was AMC.
Yes,
yeah.
It was.
Weren't you the one that told me that that is good? Or was it the other biker show?
I still haven't gone past season three.
What's Hell on Wheels?
Come on. It's basically Deadwood.
Oh yeah, no, that was terrible.
But with Come On.
No. I want a real. Don't want Come On.
I watched the first season and just didn't quite catch on for the second.
I don't know if I finished the first season.
That's true.
I know I watched like four. I think I watched like four episodes.
Maybe I didn't. Yeah. Should have listened to my own mind. You know you can't hold me forever. I didn't sign up for you. I'm not a present for your friends to open. This boy's too young to be singing. Do we know what decade we're in, Damien?
We're in the 2000s again.
Okay.
Which means 2004 for life.
For life!
My killers is with me. Andrew is still ahead on 16 points. Douglas is behind with 15 points.
15 or 14?
15. You're behind by one. Because you're both terrible at this game.
I'm the best. I make it look like a competition.
You are so bad, it is unbelievable.
If we did it like England losing in the World Cup coming up, it wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be entertaining.
Don't tempt me to do this. So it is week 7.
And we are still sponsored by the FIFA World Cup,
In fact, my colours are the colours of the Brazilian flag. Green, yellow and blue, because of course it is. And I'm an idiot. Hints are back because last week you guys did such a terrible job. And this is the 2000s, and the hints will be based on the top selling single according to Billboard. So you guys...
Is this the 2000s?
This is
2000s.
The 2000s, yes.
Okay. Maybe that can work.
You guys are so screwed.
So Gangnam Style was...
Last year. Or the year. Who cares? So starting, who would like to start first? Dead ear. Andrew Robinson. I never start with you, so I'm not going to this week. That's incredible. Andrew Robinson.
Feel better?
so much better.
I'm Andrew glad Robinson. I could pick up your...
The Transporter 2. These are underrated gems in my eyes. The Transporter 2, Sin City, and Constantine.
Sin City was 2005.
Congratulations. Mariah Carey's We Belong Together.
I know, because best I saw song of my girlfriend made me go and watch that movie in the theater while I was at Lawrence. And I didn't like it at that time. I don't know why. Anyways.
Now put them in order.
So Transporter 2, Sin City and?
And Constantine.
Sin City, Constantine, Transporter.
Incorrect, sir. Douglas Robinson. The best car flip in history. Versus the best black and white movie in history.
I would go to Transporter number one.
You're not allowed to say those kinds of things, sir.
Transporter followed by Sin City, followed by Constantine.
You're also incorrect. Constantine made $75 million.
Oh, really?
Sin City made $74 million. And the Transporter 2 made $43 million.
And it was between Transporter and Sin City. Sin City and...
Both of those movies got sequels, and Constantine wanted to get a sequel and then didn't. A Constantine would have done the worst.
Transporter is the definition of a movie which is low budget.
Yeah.
High room.
Transporter does well overseas.
That.
And then they carry it here. And Americans are idiots. Douglas Robinson.
No, they're not. That movie was bad.
You go straight to hell, sir. These are my three favorite movies of the year. 2012.
For life.
District 9.
For
and
life.
Taken.
Or life.
The Black Eyed Peas, Boom Boom Pow.
Can I say
that sounds like a,
no?
That sounds like I think that might be a, that could feel like a trick question, to be honest. But let's do.
Alright, say that one more time. 2012.
District 9.
Mm-hmm.
And Take It.
Okay.
The Black Eyed Peas, Boom Boom Pow. It is sad how many of these songs I had to look up on YouTube because I did not remember these.
I don't remember Boom Boom Pow. Was that the electric song? The song where he talked about Andrew, electricity.
Boom, boom,
Andrew, when did we start this podcast?
We started it in January 2009.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's in 1 of 2 years.
Mm-hmm. 2014 and 2004.
For life. I'm going to guess.
If you could speed this up, that would be terrific.
Wait. 2010.
It can't be 2010.
It's 2000s.
It's the 2000s.
Oh, I didn't realize that 10 isn't in it. Then it's 2009.
Okay.
I think that's a trick question for... Here's the reason. And you can tell me it doesn't count because you have little feelings.
Sure.
If I remember correctly,
yeah, Taken
we
was,
got Taken in 08, like October, and then America released it in 09. In like February or something.
Yeah, it was two separate years.
I remember when we started this game, I said specifically, I'm taking these from Box Office Mojo. So you know exactly where the numbers are coming from. So I don't want to hear it. Right? Plus the other two movies wouldn't have come from that other year, would it? Okay. Can you put them in order, sir?
So, what are the three? Remind me. One more
Taken,
time.
2012.
Taken.
And
the good one. The Taken.
Mm-hmm.
Not
District
the Taken
9. Thing. And 2012.
Okay. I'm going to go with... I'm gonna go with
oh my God.
2012 Taken and District 9.
He's correct. You understand that Douglas is now in front of you, right?
Yes. He has 2 points.
Although I should take away a point for him saying 2010, because I don't know how in God's name.
Can I say 2010 this time?
Sure, you can. You can also say 2004 for life.
Is this year 2004?
There Will Be Blood, 3:10 to Humor, and The Kingdom.
Wait.
Nope. Douglas Robinson.
What's the hint?
Beyonce is Irreplaceable. Top selling song. Love that the hints just make it worse.
3:10 to Yuma.
What is he talking about?
What's the other two again?
There'll Be Blood and The Kingdom. I like two out of the three of these
the
movies.
Kingdom. Oh, I remember The Kingdom.
I forgot about The Kingdom. I never watched that movie.
So I think this might be the first half.
No.
Kingdom?
No, you're talking about Kingdom of Heaven. Those are two different movies.
Yeah, I know.
Oh. No, I've never.
Ow.
Wait, is it Kingdom the one directed by Michael Scott with Ava Green?
The Kingdom, I believe, is a movie with Jamie Foxx.
And Jennifer Garner. Oh, that movie!
I never watched it.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna go with.
There's a third name in there, but I've forgotten.
2006?
Nope. 07, right?
Congratulations.
I knew I was one off. So this is There Be Blood, The Kingdom, and
3:10 to Humor.
This doesn't look good. 3:10 to Yuma.
Mm-hmm.
There Be Blood, The Kingdom.
Nope.
Oops, shit.
That's not an answer. That is invalid, and we'd like you to keep the language PG on the show.
There are children listening.
Okay.
Those fucking children are listening right now.
You're scaring the children.
I would go with...
Mm-hmm.
3:10 to Yuma,
mm-hmm.
The Kingdom, There Be Blood.
Douglas is correct again. 3:10 made 53, The Kingdom made 47, and There Will Be Blood made 40. Andrew, you are now behind by 2. You understand that?
Yep.
Thought you were good at this game.
Yep. I have to make it exciting.
Oh,
I have to make it exciting.
Douglas,
goes
this
ahead,
is your turn.
I come back.
Don't know what you're talking about. What Women Want, Meet the Parents, and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Three sorely overrated movies.
This is perfect. It's definitely
mm-hmm.
one of two.
Faith Hill's Breathe was the best-selling
Breathe?
No, actually, that is fabulous.
I'm going to go with 2000.
Yes,
yep,
correct.
That's 2000.
Now put these gigantic moneymakers in order and stop using... your phone to keep track of the years, you cheating bastard.
Remind me. So, Crouching Tiger.
What Women Want.
What women
and Meet
want.
The Parents.
Meet the Parents. Ooh. Okay. I'm going to go with... Could Crouching Tiger actually have won this? It was a big thing, but was it that big? I'm going to go with Meet the Parents, Crouching Tiger. And what's the third one?
What Women Want.
Okay, I'm going to go with Meet the Parents, What Women Want, and Crouching Tiger.
Incorrect, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, because if you had put Crouching Tiger in the middle, I'd be fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Because my logic is Crouching Tiger is last. So, What Women Want, Meet the Parents, Crouching Tiger.
And Andrew's correct. What Women Want.
It was
want
a question of to which one came.
182 million. Meet the Parents made 166, and Crouching Tiger made 128. So it's still me.
That was a fun movie. I like What Women Want.
I don't remember liking it. I don't think I ever saw the whole thing.
I remember
watching like a good amount of it on TV.
Question number 5. This is Douglas's question, I think.
No,
I
he just got...
So.
Let's just ask Douglas.
I'm
right.
pretty sure it's
Andrew Robinson. Rush Hour Part 2.
Ugh.
The Mummy 2. An American Pie 2. Lifehouse... Hanging by a Moment.
01.
Yep.
That was the banger. Yep.
I remember because we saw Rush Hour 2 in Ithaca when we took him to university.
No one gives a shit. No,
of course, they all care about our life stories. so Rush Hour 2.
Yep.
No. But
The Mummy 2.
The Mummy 2.
And American Pie 2.
American Pie 2. shit.
The Return of the Sequels.
I'm going to go... This doesn't make sense to me.
I like this.
American Pie 2, Rush
mm-hmm.
Hour 2, and whatever the other one is.
And The Mummy Returns?
Yes.
You think American Pie, you're wrong.
I don't, there's a part of me which feels that those other two sequels did good, but not as good as we think they did.
You keep saying it, but I don't want to hear it.
And at the same time, if I am right, I fucked him up and he can't use me as weeding out the wrong answer.
I'm gonna go with
mm-hmm.
American Pie 2.
Mm-hmm.
Rush Hour 2 and The Mummy 2.
Fuck. You're still wrong.
Isn't that exactly what I just said?
I don't remember. All I know is wrong.
No, I think you... I don't know.
Rush Hour 2 made 226 million.
I think you
million.
Started with Rush Hour 2.
Yeah, you did start with Rush Hour 2. No, you didn't. He started with American Pie 2, just like you.
You said the exact same thing I
you
said.
You did. which is incredible. Rush Hour 2 made $226. The Mummy Returns made $202 million. And American Pie made $145.
Mm.
So, yeah.
And then we got The Mummy 3 with Jet Li.
No one got The Mummy 3. Stop telling lies. Andrew Robinson. Question number 6.
No, it's my question now.
I'm going to keep doing this. I don't know why to keep this. No, it's not my question. No shit. Again, my three favorite movies for the year. Bad Santa, Kill Bill Volume 1, and Love Actually. 50 Cent in Da Club.
It's either two or three.
Is the best song of the year. According to this website.
I would say that it is 2003.
For life.
No.
No?
It's 2004 for life.
Yes.
What is wrong with
yes,
me?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, so you think it's 2004?
Yes.
You're incorrect. That was right.
Wow. I swear it was 2004.
Now put my three favorite movies in order.
Say them again for me.
It is Bad Santa, the best one. Kill Bill Volume 1, also the best one. And Love Actually.
What time of year did Kill Bill come out?
Because the other
Love
two
must actually
be
movies.
Kill Bill, could it? I'm gonna go with Love Actually, Kill Bill, and then what's the third one?
Bad Santa.
Bad Santa.
Nope.
Kill Bill, Bad Santa. No, Kill Bill, Love Actually, Bad Santa.
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Kill Bill did win with $70 million. Bad Santa made $60 million.
I wasn't sure.
Oh, and Love Actually made $59 million.
I told myself the first time, make Bad Santa better than Love Actually. God damn it.
So Douglas, it is your turn again.
Okay.
Right. The Pineapple Express. Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, eight.
And Tropic Thunder. Flo Rida's Low featuring T-Pain.
Is
the number one song. Now put these phenomenal hits in order. Just.
Pineapple Express.
Mm-hmm.
What are these movies? Pineapple Express.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall and Tropic Thunder.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Pineapple Express, Tropic Thunder.
I knew.
God damn it.
Douglas, you're shaking your head.
You said Forgetting Sarah Marshall,
Pineapple Express, and Tropic Thunder.
Okay, I would go with
Pineapple
Express. Wow.
Yeah,
please say it one more time for me.
Pineapple Express, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Right.
And Tropic Thunder.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall didn't do very well.
Okay.
It's last.
Fine.
Right? So you have Tropic Thunder and the Pineapple Express.
Mm-hmm.
It's just which one did better. I think I will go with Tropic Thunder. Tropic Thunder, Pineapple Express, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
And Douglas is right again. Oh, it's not. I'm sorry, what was that?
This is all part of my strategy. All part of my strategy, guys.
I'm sorry, what's that?
I am Jose Mourinho in this.
Ah! Who is he again?
I am letting Lampard go so that I can let better players in.
Right, he won the Champions League this year, right?
He thinks he did.
It's a strong argument. Question number 8 to Douglas. Lilo and Stitch.
Ooh.
Ice Age.
This is well early.
And Snow Dogs.
2002.
Yes. Nickelback.
Is Snow Dogs allowed in this game?
Nickel. You see the amount of money that you made. I love it. Nickelback's How You Remind Me.
This is how you remind me.
Wasn't that in Spider-Man? Wasn't that song from Spider-Man?
Well, no. It was
the other one.
It was them and some other guy.
That I'll not sing because I don't want the dark points from myself. I'm taking away a point for you singing this song. You know?
Can we take more points?
I'm going to keep. I don't think he understands. I continually deducting points for this. Lilo and Stitch, Ice Age, Snow Dogs.
Well, I'm going to hope for the world that Cuba Gooding Jr. was found out and came last.
That's why I kept making movies.
Right. Now we have to decide which Disney movie. Well, Lilo and Stitch, what was the other
and
one?
Ice Age.
Ice Age, my goodness. Which children's movie did better? I would venture a guess and say Ice Age, Lilo and Stitch, and then Cuba Gooding Jr.
Douglas is pulling away Andrew Robinson.
He's giving him all the easy ones.
It's not looking good. It's not looking good over there. Andrew, it is now your turn.
No, it's not.
Three horror movies that came out this year. Aliens vs. Predator, The Grudge, and The Village. I think The Village is a horror movie.
O4?
Yes.
Yes.
Usher's
I was thinking O3, but I remember we said O3.
Usher's
before.
Ye, featuring Lil Jon and Luke Reddice.
So remind me, The Grudge, The Village.
AVP.
And AVP.
The Grudge and Village. All of these movies got sequels.
I'm going to go ahead and just make a dumb assumption that The Grudge you're talking about is the US version.
Yes.
I'm just making sure because I know it's a Japanese film. They have foreign movies in here. You pick Crouching Tiger, so be quiet.
Yeah, because that movie made like 100 and something million.
You've come here with foreign movies. Said Pan's Labyrinth here before.
I don't know what you're talking about. I can't prove any of this.
And
the only one in control of this doc.
The Village, The Grudge, AVP.
Andrew's correct.
Yay! I got 2 points.
2006.
I'm sorry, 2006 for...
Oh, life!
Congratulations. You just lost another point.
Why is that?
Because you're an idiot.
Okay.
The Devil Wears Prada.
2006.
Talladega Nights. I'm telling you the movies that you have to put in order, idiot. Of course, it's 2006. You have it on your phone.
Yes, I do.
Jackass. So you're cheating.
No, I'm not. Andrew did it the first time and we didn't call that cheating.
Andrew, you have anything to say for yourself?
I'm not saying anything.
Fair enough. The Devil Wears Prada.
Continue.
Talladega Nights. The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. And Borat, Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan.
I forgot those were both the same year. Borat, Talladega Nights, and what else?
And The Devil Wears Prada.
So Devil Wears Prada number one.
Daniel Porter's Bad Day.
Talladega Nights number two and Borat number three.
Nope.
Aww.
Swapping the bottom two.
Mm-hmm.
Meryl Streep
wins.
Followed by
mm-hmm.
by racist Ali G.
Ali G. Mm-hmm.
Followed by not so racist Ali G.
This one was so easy to trick you idiots. It's unbelievable. Talladega made 148.
Wow.
Borat made
Talladega
128. Meryl Streep made 124.
Both of them beat me. Oh my goodness. Oh.
Ah, Neil, get you.
There's a version of me, I imagine, going to bed at night, the night before you come to the podcast, kind of going, I'm so going to get those guys. Like, you start to dream about it.
Oh,
I was looking
goodness.
At the ones for previous weeks, and you guys did so poorly. That I did make this one a little bit easier. But since Douglas had so much points in this one, that's 2, 4, 6, 6 to 3.
So he beat me by 3, which means
he's ahead by 2.
He's mm-hmm. 2 ahead of me, okay.
How
many weeks
never
do we have left?
This is week 7, so you have.
3 more weeks.
No, you have. 7, 8, 6 3 more weeks.
I didn't know we had a set timeline on this.
Yes.
10 weeks total.
Yes. I would like to play this game as well.
How so? Because I'm not spending time preparing this.
He knows
thing.
I'll do the work.
But Andrew's job will be infinitely harder because we'd have gone through so many of these movies.
Alright, did you want me to turn from the right or... Turn from the left.
あの彼の方はもう準備ができてます。それであのスタートがかかった時にあのカメラの方に振り向く時に左から振り向けばいいのか右から振り向けばいいのかその辺のところはいかがなさいましょうかっていうことなんですけれども、
どっちだっていいんだよ、もう関係ないんだから、そんなもの時間がないんだよボブさん。ね、ならもう早くあなたもうテンション上げてカメラ見てカメラ目線でゆっくりと、ね、パッションがカメラ目にはパッションだよ、分かった？
And, with intensity
Is that everything? I mean, it seemed like he said quite a bit more than that.
あなたの言ってることはウイスキーのことだけじゃないんだから。わかる？古い友達に会うように優しくジェントリーにね、そして心から湧き上がってくるテンション、これ忘れちゃダメだよ。
Like an old friend and into the camera.
Okay.
わかった？
So this week, completely not tying in with the movie we're discussing.I wanted us to do our top five directors who we think deserve more love. Because this week in the cinema, we're going to be able to go and watch Doug Liman's newest film, The Edge of Tomorrow. And quite honestly, like, I like Doug Liman. I think he's a filmmaker who deserves a lot more love. And I want us to talk about more of those kinds of people. So, Douglas, why don't you kick us off?
My number five for this list, the top five directors who need more love. My number five is Steven Spielberg. Wait, sorry, this list wasn't sarcastic. I screwed up. Uh-oh. I'm a moron. Actually, so...
You see, the weirdest part about it isn't...that he made the joke. Right? Because I would have respected him if he'd made the joke, even to the point where it is now, and go, alright, this is my real list. But it looks to me like he really doesn't have a list other than that version of his list.
Other than just straight up nonsense.
So no, I actually have two lists. I have the sarcastic list.
So no, I'm okay with it.
So if you want me to go through, I actually have the full sarcastic list.
You know what? Let's, before we get into it, just give us the sarcastic list.
Wow. So
let's hear the sarcastic
list. Steven Spielberg shouldn't be last, but he is last because I wanted it to start off with a bang. Right?
With us just murdering
Exactly. But we have here Steven Spielberg at number 5. James Cameron at number 4. Michael Bay at number 3, because come on, Michael Bay.
He needs all the love.
Alfred Hitchcock at number 4, at number 2, and number 1, with a bullet, Martin Scorsese.
Of course. All the love.
All the love they need.
You mean as in the bedroom, right? They need more love in the bedroom.
But okay. In,
Michael Bay is quite honest.
In real terms, though, my realist.
I'd imagine if you had to pick one, he would be the one who'd be the most all right.
But so number 5 on my list of people who I really want more love for is one Matthew Vaughn. And I know that in this room, there's, I hope at least, a ton of love for him. But just generally...
He made Kick-Ass.
Yeah, he made Kick-Ass. He made a lot of movies that just weren't top tier. I think the biggest movie he's probably been associated with right now is X-Men First Class. And a lot of people are like, fuck that movie. And
those people are
crazy. But... I don't
What's
know.
What do we know? Because he didn't do this X-Men movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
He has that new movie with what's his name, with King's Speech guy coming out this year. Colin Firth.
Oh, the James Bond
movie. The Kingsmen.
Yeah,
where they are like British and they have gadgets and shit. It looks crazy, and it looks like it's not going to be very good. But at the same time, the right kind of not very good.
Okay, I. think I can accept that from you.
He made
Layer Cake,
Stardust, Kick-Ass, X-Men, and Kingsman.
Yeah, that's
just
a new one
this year.
Yeah, but like all of those movies, I love all of those movies exactly. But
did he get himself kicked off the X-Men thing?
He just decided he didn't want to do it again. I think he helped write it, but he didn't direct it.
Yeah, but Matthew Vaughn needs some.
Well,
Sam
Jackson is in
The
Kingsman. Yes, so this is only going to be.
You should only get the trailer for it.
Quite okay. he was an actor in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah, he
that
produced
would make
that
sense.
Movie.
Anyways, Matthew Vaughn. Okay. My number five is probably the least that should be on this list, but I still feel like people don't give him enough credit as a director. Like, there is a lot of credit out there for him, like as a choreographer and as someone who will be attached to films as the ancillary that does sequences and we love. But this is a guy who gave me Cabaret and all that jazz, and it's Bob Fosse.
Usher.
Right? Bob Fosse, I'm sorry, all that jazz is coming out on Criterion this month. I love that movie. And if you're out there and you love movies and you've never seen all that jazz,
save yourself the show.
The top of the list right now.
Just don't bother wasting time. Just keep yourself safe. Far away from lunacy. Right, so there's this movie that I love and that everyone in this room loves. It's Tom Certified. It's called Meek's Cutoff. And the woman what made that movie, do any of you know her name?
Kelly Reichardt.
Yeah.
Okay, congrats.
She also did Night Moves.
Yes. But we'll ignore that.
I've seen that movie. Have you seen that movie?
I have seen that movie.
Oh yeah, forget. It's been a year since TIFF.
Asshole. You really think she put out a movie that I didn't watch? You are incorrect, sir.
Wendy and Lucy.
Yeah, she's incredible. That's what
I watched, yeah.
I still haven't watched Old Joy.
But I have seen it.
You could.
It's good. Okay, and she doesn't make bad movies.
Okay.
Right?
He doesn't like Wendy and Lucy.
I thought it was boring.
I've never watched it, though.
Like, it's a like good movie. Joy? I haven't watched Old Joy.
So only you have seen?
I have not seen Old Joy. I don't know what that movie is. I imagine it is a movie what was directed by Kelly Reichardt.
Yeah, she's really good. And like, I've never, until her movie's actually out, no one calls her name. She kind of disappears. And I think she's better than most other directors. She has Michelle Williams in like 99% of her movies, so that doesn't hurt. But I still like her movies.
Michelle Williams is in Old Joy?
No.
So, okay.
Meek's Cutoff and Wendy and Lucy? That's
99%. That's 99%. I'm good at math. 3 is more than 3. I'm not trying to establish this from the previous podcast. Yeah, I think she's incredible and she doesn't get the respect she deserves.
Stuck.
Douglas wrong.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
And I'm taking off a point retrospectively for Andrew singing.
So is it any form of singing?
I want no. You guys, none of us here can sing. Alright, let us just accept
yes, we
that.
Can. Yes, we can. I can sing.
Andrew,
what's that part in the Talib Kweli album? If you can walk, you can dance. If you can talk, you can sing.
If you could have gotten that right, I'd have added a point. No, I'm taking up as not a point.
No, I thought mm-hmm. Talib said, ha 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 ya. Mm-hmm. Ha 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 mm-hmm. ha ya. Hi.
I love it.
So, okay. So, my number four is...
It's going to be fun editing this where people hear the laughter cutting off. Yeah. Like, what was the joke?
So
can't tell you.
So
because we're idiots.
I kind of bend the rules here, guys. Just a little bit.
What?
But I know that Damien will be for this bendage. I'm not sure about Andrew. I don't think Andrew shares the love that I have for this person. Britt Marling.
Mm-hmm.
Is fantastic. She's awesome.
You're goddamn right.
She wrote Sound of My Voice, mm-hmm. which is one of the best movies ever. She writes a lot of her movies, mm-hmm. and a lot of them are pretty good. She also directed. World. She also directed one thing. Yes. One thing mm-hmm. that I'm not sure could be a shot, but. That makes her a director.
and she deserves more love.
She deserves way more love. Because right now, I think she's gotten a little bit of indie cred, and clearly she's starting to break out a little bit. Just a little bit. You know, she was in Arbitrage with...
what's his face?
Richard Gere. She was in that other movie with Robert Redford and Shia LaBeouf, man.
She was in the East.
She was in the East, but that wasn't really a big movie. But you're right. She's kind of going through the motions, where I think she's on the cusp, maybe, of in the next couple of years...
Being a household name.
Being... No, not a household name. I think she'd be a character actor. But I really like this
Ellen Page can be a household name.
Ellen Page is not a household name.
Or she is.
Ellen Page was a household name.
No.
Until people realized she didn't do anything else.
Let's get this clear.
Other than be
Juno is
Juno.
A household
exactly.
Household
yes,
name.
But if that could have happened, then anything can happen.
I suppose. But yeah, Britt Marling, so awesome. So awesome.
Okay, Douglas.
Fine.
My number four.
You know what this means? Mm-hmm. He's broken the rules higher up on his list.
I'm like, yes.
My number four is a filmmaker who I feel kind of works very well in the discussion of talking about Doug Liman. Because he's a filmmaker who... His films so far have been pretty good. But what they've done is they have been just amazingly over the top, past our expectations... within the genre of whatever they're doing. And this guy is Will Gluck, the guy who gave us Fired Up, Easy A, and Friends with Benefits. Right? And he has a movie coming out this year, which honestly I don't know how he can do it again. Like, if he does it again, it's magic, it's Annie. If somehow he pulls it off, like, I'm never going to stop talking about this guy. But based off the three movies that came before, Fired Up is a movie I thought it
I
was.
I really like him.
As the poster says, Andrew,
yeah.
F you. That movie's,
I like Fired Up.
That movie's bad.
You go away. Fired Up is fun.
So bad.
Fired Up is fun.
So, Easy A, sure, that's an okay movie.
Mm-hmm. Also fun.
What's the other one?
Friends with Benefits.
Sure, that's a better than okay movie. That's still really just an okay movie. Just that we, for some reason, like it more than we should.
That's all three of his
right?
movies.
Fired
You've
Up
just
is
described,
bullshit.
You've just described all three of his movies.
This guy
you have
deserves
described all
zero
three of
love.
His movies. You're a jerk.
Say yes.
There's a guy that directed In Bruges.
Oh my goodness, how
and
did I not think of him for this, list?
His name is Martin McDonagh.
Oh.
And he's the best. It's the best thing that we have.
Oh my goodness.
It's better than Nolan. You heard it here first.
Speaking of psychopaths.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, there's no way to segue that.
Well,
speaking of seven psychopaths.
Mm-hmm.
There's a man by the name of Sam Rockwell.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been in a lot of good movies. Actually, even the movies he's in, he's good in. But he was in one in particular.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of blew all of us away.
Right.
By the name of
Choke.
Moon. Choke was awesome. Oh my goodness. But Moon.
Mm-hmm.
I should rewatch that movie. I should rewatch Choke. I love
I
like Choke. Because
I thought you were going to say Moon and I just take some stabby in your neck. When's the last time you saw Moon?
Moon?
I
just
like
said Moon.
Year ago?
Why has it been so
long? Moon is fantastic. As
Thanks.
Is Groundhog Day Part 2, or as most people like to call it. Thing their code.
The
source code.
The director's cut is pretty good.
There's really a director's cut?
It's a demon's cut.
It says DC.
Okay, when he takes off the last couple of minutes.
When that movie ends.
Okay.
Look.
Duncan Jones is fantastic.
Off my list.
And.
Word.
I don't think he's really,
Bitch
you know, gotten much love.
Nigga.
But
you know
he
like
actually just
like
finished
nigga.
Filming a movie.
World of Warcraft.
Which is. I don't see how it's going to be any good, but it's Duncan Jones. It has to be good. World of Warcraft. How that works, I don't know.
He has to make this movie so that he can get enough money to keep making smaller movies. He has to pay the piper.
Yeah, yeah. But Duncan Jones is fantastic. He is awesome. There is nothing more
I
can say about him. Well, I guess in the sense that nobody knows to rate him.
So now we're hitting the back section of my list, which really has to do with people kind of not really dividing how to perceive these individuals, because they're primarily actors who happen to do amazing movies. And mm-hmm. as directors.
Oh, okay.
And this one guy, while he has his list of missteps as an actor, whenever he happens to direct a film, it is nothing short of interesting and amazing. And it is the one, the only Mr. Ben Stiller. When you put together Zoolander,
yep.
When you put together Tropic Thunder, you get probably the funniest movies you'll see out of those years.
Underrated though, there's people who don't like those movies. Where? Not on the internet that I go on. Everybody loves those movies.
But people still about shit on Ben Stiller.
Yeah, because of the movies that he's in, not the movies that he directed.
Most people don't know he directed those movies.
Who are we talking? Who is the people that are on everything? Are we talking regular humans? Because they know like two directors. They know Michael Bay, and they know the other Michael Bay. Like that's what people talking about. I thought we were using the internet as like the barometer. Did he do Along Came Polly?
The thing about Ben Stiller is that he's very divisive. There are people who love him. Mm-hmm. There are people who hate him. I don't think there are very many people who are just like, Ben Stiller, whatever.
Yeah,
so I think that's a big thing.
Alright. He also did The Cable Guy.
Yes, he did.
Yes. I like The Cable Guy.
I have been meaning to rewatch for a long time.
And remember, this is a list of directors that need more love.
Oh, mm-hmm. Right,
just because fine. They're loved don't mean that they don't need more.
Fair enough. This should really be my number one, but it is my number three. John Boom Lee is the person. He did Man From Nowhere, and it is still my favorite.
Okay.
And you two both hate the movie because you're bad people.
Oh sure. Mm-hmm. I actually think that Damien, you and me clearly we traveled at the same time because yes. I'm about to travel too, and I'm mm-hmm. traveling in exactly the same place that you're traveling to. Just to a different section, mm-hmm. and that would be the section of crazy people, mm-hmm. crazy people with detective mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Bong Joon-ho is.
A lunatic,
but he's awesome. He directed Mother, which is great.
God, that movie's so good.
There are a couple of movies I haven't seen that I really want to watch. Like, I think it's I'm a Cyborg and I'm Okay that he did, along with The Host. Mm. No, he didn't do that.
I'm a Cyborg is Park Chan-wook, I believe.
Oh, is it? Okay, then I'm just... It doesn't matter because he's on the list too. But, so, The Host... As well as he did one of the sections of a movie that we actually watched on the show, the Tokyo movie, which was awesome.
Nope.
And as much as I don't like this movie, I still kind of respect this movie, which is... what's the name of this movie again? Wind Chaser.
The Chaser?
Chase no? Winder, the train movie.
Oh, you mean Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer. Right?
Run faster.
I was just going to keep going. But
killer.
This guy is just, he's so awesome. And I'm so very sad that was his first, I wouldn't call it English movie, but it's at least the first movie that kind of tried to break into English markets, and I don't think it did well. And it definitely wasn't my favorite of his movies, but still it showed all of the signs of awesomeness, so I still think he needs way more love.
So my number two, continuing with my trend of actor directors who for the most part people slowly but surely recently are starting to get wary of as actors, but they don't always quite know the films that they're amazing for as directors, and I just adore those films. And when you're talking about the guy who brought us Project A and Police Story, Jackie Chan is a director who people need to love more. Right? Because
Police Story is awesome.
Police Story is amazing. It is, like, I re-evaluated Jackie Chan completely the moment I saw Police Story last year for the first time. Because, I mean, I had seen Supercop, but I never really thought about it. And that wasn't even him. He had given up the franchise as a director at that point. But Jackie Chan, man, more than the moments where he takes over movies and says, this is how an action sequence should be choreographed, he just kind of takes a movie to another level that I don't even think Michael Bay ever considers. There, I threw the gauntlet down. Are you going to?
I've seen those movies, so I don't know what you're talking about. Can't touch Michael Bay. Stop lying to people, you son of a bitch. I'm busy watching Liam Neeson's new trailer.
Taken Part 5.
Part 18 at this point. He's
a recorder. Someone is taken in that movie.
Everything. It's sad. Careful, Canada.
There you go.
Like, let's not be
there. The truest of detectives.
No, not because of the truest of detectives.
I'd like to.
For the two real-ass movies that we love.
Which movie was it that he did? Was it Wuthering Heights or another one? It was one of those types of movies.
No, not
Wuthering
Heights. It was one of those types of movies.
Yeah.
It was Jane Eyre.
Jane Eyre. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Wuthering Heights. What's her? Andrea Arnold.
Well, no, it's all it is that I don't know what name applies to what story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I didn't do literature at that level. I didn't read all of those books.
You should learn to read.
I just don't read
books. Books are nice. Why? Especially when you're awake. I don't know because I don't read.
Oh my goodness,
them,
exactly.
I've been told.
Sorry, what's up?
So my number one, as I kind of said before, Park Chan-wook. I think Park Chan-wook, again, he's from South Korea. He is the even better version of Bong Joon-ho. He made hit after hit, or rather, I shouldn't say hit after hit, but he just hit it out of the park every single time, time after time, when he was in Korea with the Vengeance trilogy, with Thirst, with everything he's done over there. And then, finally, he said, you know what? Time to come over to the States. Time to come over to English-speaking
territory. You guys get old, boy. And you can remake that.
Exactly.
I just want some money.
Yeah.
And a couple of actors.
Yeah.
Going to rock
the
world, all of your world.
Oh my goodness!
And he did.
Yes, he did.
So hard.
The movie's so great.
God damn it! I knew there's no way I could get that.
Matthew Good, be great in a movie. I don't like Matthew Good. Maybe something's wrong with me. I just haven't watched the right movies.
But who do you hate more?
Uh-huh.
Matthew Good or Jude Law?
Jude Law.
That's unfair.
Jude Law just trumps
never
everything.
Been in anything.
Matthew Good or Reese Fans?
Matthew Good. I love Reese Fans. I don't know what your problem is.
Oh, sorry. I'm thinking of the wrong person. Frigo. The guy from Mission Impossible 3 and
Philip Seymour Hoffman?
No, and the Showtime show, the Borges thing that you don't
ooh,
like.
John Rhys-Myers! Oh my god!
Matthew Good or John Rhys-Myers?
Who do I like more?
Who do you like less?
Less? John Rhys-Myers. It's not...
He's a trainer.
Yeah. Yeah.
At this point. So I was on board with Douglas's hate for that youth. But then I watched whatever the hell that Showtime show was that he was in.
Oh, the
Tudors.
Tudors. Yes.
That's what I was thinking of. I don't like that show. I never even watched that show.
This is the worst.
I watched it for a half a second. Yeah. And I was like,
so my number one, guys. My number one, guys. Continuing on the actor-director train.
Paul Warr.
It is
Triple X himself.
Ice Cube. I mean, those Riddick movies are just riveting.
Right. We all know it's Spike Lee. Spike Lee deserves more love.
He deserves more love. It's Thomas McCarthy,
ooh,
the man who gave us The Visitor and Win Win.
I never watched Win Win, but I keep meaning to.
I adore Win Win.
Have I seen The Visitor? Which one is The Visitor?
The Visitor is the one with Richard Jenkins.
The Visitor is
Oh, I know about The Visitor yet again. Another movie that I wanted to watch, but didn't.
I was going to tease him.
The only movie of his I still haven't seen remember is The Station Agent, which people all love. But, like, guys, I want him to stop acting and just be a proper director.
Who is this?
Thomas McCarthy.
Who is this? In terms of acting, because you just said he's an actor. So maybe I can place a face.
He's generally a small role in most things. He was in 2012. I think he was in The Wire.
He's always a scientist. Yeah, he was in The Wire.
He was the journalist.
Yeah, the journalist in The Wire.
Oh, which one?
Season 5.
He was the bad one. He was the one who was making up stories.
Okay, okay.
In the last season.
Okay, he was like an intern kind of level?
Yeah. And he looks...
I think I know who he is. I think I have a bit of a picture.
Anything else big he was in that I can name him? He was in Michael Clayton, but that looks like it was a voice. He was always small roles in movies. And he was in Boston Public, the TV show. But I don't know if you watched that.
Yeah, no, I never watched that. Star Wars or Star Trek in Boston, no thanks.
So yeah, he has 37 credits as an actor. But he only has 3 films out. I think there's one coming out this year, which I am so looking forward to. Yeah, it's in post-production. It's called The Cobbler.
I changed it, man. Fuck.
What?
Jesus Christ.
He just thought of somebody better than his normal.
Yeah. It's not really better. Let me not.
So he's taken out Lars, and let's see who he's put in instead of Lars.
No, Lars has gotten way too much.
So I love Tom McCarthy. Move on.
So Damien, who's your number one?
I'm just...
Let him take a moment and I can cut.
To ensure that I have the right person, and I do have the right person. So, I was going to pick someone easy.
Give us the easy one and then you can give us the
I was going to go Sam Mendes as my number one.
But I feel like he got enough love from American Pie, though. I mean, American.
I mean, when he won the best Oscar, the best picture.
Yeah,
yeah. But even someone that won best picture, people don't talk about Sam Mendes with the reverence that they talk about other directors. In my view. Mm-hmm. But then, you guys were talking nonsense, and I remembered someone. John Michael McDonough did The Guard.
And he has Calvary coming out this year.
Wait, his last name is McDonough. Would he?
He's
goodness.
Is he cousin or brother? I don't know.
He's related to Martin. Martin.
What is important, though, is that he's done The Guard. And he did Ned Kelly, which came out in 2003.
I actually watched that movie and I remember thinking it was
his brother.
So right.
Brother to Martin McDonough.
Heath Ledger was in that movie. Mm-hmm. I like Heath Ledger. It was one of the few movies. I remember early on, I used to fucking hate Orlando Bloom. It was one of the movies where I was like, oh, well, I guess.
I saw Ned Kelly and went, I'll watch this.
Yeah.
The guy what did The Guard made this.
Oh, you watched it right.
Yeah, I watched it.
I actually watched Ned Kelly when it came out on HBO.
And I went, he's in it? And then I watched it and I went, this is good. I can't see where.
And you know why I watched it? Andrew. You might remember this. Do you remember that we used to watch... There used to be a movie on HBO that played all the time about Ned Kelly?
I don't know who Ned Kelly
is. Okay, Ned Kelly is... I think he's a real person. He's a bit of a legend in Australia. He's an outlaw who, for at least a little bit of time, hid out with a circus. And so Heath Ledger and this guy McDonough directed and did a movie that was serious about the real person. The movie that I watched when I was young, and I think you watched it with me too, was this ridiculous comedy. Like this kind of sort of Pauly Shore type of comedy about Ned Kelly going to LA, still living with his his band of.
I thought he was going to describe Johnny Dangerously.
His circus. it kind of is Johnny Dangerously. And you know, he keeps shooting people's guns out of their hands. It's bad.
Okay. John Michael McDonough. I want to watch his new movie, Calvary.
Goddamn right.
As Damon's so watching the trailer.
Turn is good?
It's okay.
Alright, I guess I'll try and watch it.
But anyways, I think that's about it. So, as usual, you can hear the podcast over at gmyreviews.com or through iTunes and Stitcher. Damien, he's on
Lord
Twitter.
Baelish.
At Damien_White.
I'm changing it to Lord Baelish.
Continually reminding us that 2004 is still actually For Life.
It is always For Life.
Douglas's DJR lost his name, fascinatingly, in fact, he has a new phone. Fun! Which means he can actually connect to networks.
Yeah,
and tweet more.
Oh my goodness. It's
yeah,
so
that's
wonderful.
Why
that's why he got a phone.
So
he was wonderful. His tweets were just lacking. Yeah. He needs a phone to fix it. And I'm at Gmail Reviews, where I don't know what I'm ever doing really. So thank you so much for listening. And good night.
Good night.
It is where we are. It's enough for this wide-eyed wanderer that we got this far. And can you feel the love tonight? How it's late. Kaleidoscope moves us all in turn.